Customers are rushing to your store. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify has everything you need to sell in person. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into the one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. Connect with customers in line and online. Shopify helps you drive store traffic with plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns from TikTok to Instagram and beyond. Get hardware that fits your business. Take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/theathletic, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/theathletic to take your retail business to the next level today. shopify.com/theathletic.
Yo, yo, welcome to post-game edition of the Forum Club. I'm Jovan Buha, your new Lakers beat writer, coming to you live from my first Lakers game, joined by Bill Orem. Bill, how you doing?
Old Lakers beat writer. Jovan, it's intellectually dishonest to say you're talking to people from your first Lakers home game, because you need to tell the people where you really are right now.
We're actually in a parking garage. Right next to Staples Center.
I hear like some pipe dripping somewhere. I hope we get that. I hope that we get that ambient sound on the podcast. Like, I listen to a lot of like serial podcasts, and like it's the ambient sound that makes them really good.
This is we're the last two people here. Dedication. I hope our bosses are listening to this.
Jovan, what happened? What happened in this game tonight? The Lakers got their rings, and then they played the Clippers. What transpired?
Well, the Lakers lost 116-109. It was kind of some similar vibes to opening night of last year, which obviously went the Clippers' way, but the season ended up going the Lakers' way. But the Clippers jumped on them from the start, as Frank Vogel said after the game. Took a 22-point lead in the first quarter. Lakers rallied back to cut that to 2 at halftime. Then Paul George went supernova to end the third, start the fourth. And that kind of put the game away. LeBron sat the last 8 minutes, didn't come back in. He and AD only combined for 59 minutes. So, to me, the story of the game was the Lakers' defense, or lack thereof. Obviously there was probably some ring ceremony hangover, but to me, that was the story of just how bad the defense looked and fitting in the new pieces.
Yeah, and I think it's really, I just want to really stress that I think it's so hard to extrapolate end of season conclusions from this game. Not only is it the first game of the season, which is always a dangerous thing to try to read too much into, but for this Lakers team, you are talking about 72 days after they played in the bubble, won the championship, incredibly short offseason, somewhat longer offseason for the Clippers for reasons that are well known. But, to me, this Lakers team, has really been messaging really for a month now that they are going to be very careful and conservative with how they ease into this season. And that's what you saw with LeBron. I mean, LeBron not coming back into a game because it was a 13-point game. Like, if this is, obviously the playoffs, but even later in a normal regular season, LeBron's still coming back in and trying to whittle that down. So I don't think the Lakers, mind the way this game went. I think this is in some ways an extended preseason for them. You've got a lot of new pieces you're still trying to fit together. I don't know how many guys tonight we heard talk about getting their legs back under them. That's not what you expect to hear generally after game one, but this is just not a general year.
What were your first impressions of the newcomers?
I mean, Schroeder was the best of the bunch, I thought. Obviously he finished with 14 points, 12 rebounds, by the way, and then 8 assists. And, he looked good his shot looked good. He knocked down a couple threes. He just looked very comfortable out there. And, Harrell had a couple of moments also. Probably the most notable thing that happened among the new guys was Marc Gasol's the egg that he laid in his first game. There were two really quick fouls, and then a third foul in the second quarter. He only played like 7 minutes in the first half. and then ended up picking up his fifth foul in 12 minutes. So he just didn't, he barely played, didn't score, didn't attempt a shot, and had one rebound and an assist. So, you know, it's not a great matchup against the Clippers. You know, the Lakers, I think, probably, you know, in a playoff series would lean a little more heavily on, you know, AD, maybe on Serge, but it gets, you know, it does get to this issue that I've kind of harped on for a while, which is just, I'm not sure the Lakers' center depth is where it needs to be by the end of the year. I'm going to be curious to see if they end up bringing someone else in at that position. Not because Marc Gasol had a bad first game with the Lakers, but because he's their only real true center.
That was one of my first thoughts in the first half. I think Trez ended up playing 14 straight minutes from about midway through the first into deep in the second quarter. And that's what I was thinking. I was like, if they, you know, if there's an instance to have a third center, this would be that. I'm with you. I think Mark looked, you know, pretty slow footed, which we kind of expected, but it was really, I felt the Clippers did a good job of attacking him in the pick and roll, putting him in situations where he had to move his feet. And, you know, he obviously fouled a lot as kind of a result of that. Wes Matthews was also very quiet, went 0 for 2, missed his 2 3-point looks, kind of got cooked by Kawhi and PG at various points. And I do wonder when looking at the rotation and how Vogel responded, he started to play THT and Wes and THT both played 11 minutes. So you figure with LeBron and AD playing more minutes at some point, someone's going to have to get squeezed in the rotation. And I do wonder if maybe it comes down to Wes versus THT for a given night of one night we need offense, we're going to go to THT. One night we need defense, we're going to go to Wes. But otherwise, I thought the rotation looked about as we'd expect. Again, Mark will play more when he's not in foul trouble. But do you have any long-term concern? I know you said you don't want to take away too much from this, but even going back to last season, Kawhi and PG, I think they combined to average 58 points a game across the four games. Is there any concern there with the Lakers defense versus those two? And, you know, everyone's picking these two again to make the conference finals. And if they end up meeting there, how confident are you in the Lakers defense versus those two?
So what we saw last year that finally worked was when Frank Vogel put Anthony Davis on Kawhi, and that matchup was very compelling. Like, I trust LeBron versus Paul George head to head in a, you know, in a matchup that matters. Kawhi is the wild card, and I think Anthony Davis is probably the answer there. I worry about that over seven games in 11 days or whatever playoff series ends up being. You know, this is an issue for the Lakers. I mean, they have not had a good, you know, a really, I mean, I'm not saying they haven't had good players, but they haven't had a guy who could guard Kawhi one-on-one. You know, I go back to the season opener last year. If you remember the second quarter of the season opener, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, you know, was a very logical guy to have on Kawhi, and he got cooked. And then tonight, you know, here we are, you know, a year and 2 months later, and it felt like Wesley Matthews kind of got that same opportunity in the second quarter, and I saw a lot of the same again. And so, you know, I don't know what you do about it. I don't know that the Lakers. I think the Lakers probably hope that they have enough, you know, perimeter defense to get by, and then, you know, in the moments that really matter, you know, you're gonna expend AD in that matchup. But, you know, in the regular season, particularly in a season opener, you're feeling these guys out. You want to see what Wesley Matthews can do against Kawhi. You want to see what THT can do against Kawhi. You know, and it's probably not going to be a great outcome, but at least then you have a little bit of a frame of reference. And so I do think that is not a good matchup for the Lakers. I think, you know, you go back to when the Clippers flamed out against Denver. I mean, there were plenty of people who said this team was built to beat the Lakers. They weren't built to beat a team like Denver with a center like Jokic. And I don't think that has changed a whole lot. I think that the Clippers are a very problematic matchup for the Lakers. And I mean, there's a reason we've seen it so much in the regular season. I mean, the first two matchups last year, and I think you can kind of throw away the one matchup in the bubble, but the Lakers barely won that one. And then tonight, so the only win you've really got that you can really hang your hat on if you're the Lakers is the one right before the hiatus last year.
Yeah, and Frank said it after the game that he felt like he was, and maybe that was just coach speak, but he said he was okay with the defense because he felt that the Clippers really exploited them in one-on-one situations. And he was like, hey, if we're going to go down that way with them just beating us one-on-one, like, you know, it is what it is. So I do like AD on Kawhi. I actually thought Kuz was someone who defended well. He was guarding PG, I think, for part of that stretch where PG went off. But, you know, Paul George is Paul George. And I know, you know, everyone has made jokes about him and criticized his playoff performance, but there's a reason, you know, he's considered, you know, top 15, top 20 guys. So I think him going off like that, even on Kuz, like I thought Kuz overall played pretty well. His shot selection wasn't bad. You didn't see some of the things you saw at times in the preseason. So of course, one game, small sample size, but you know, that was his first game after his extension. Right. And I thought he fit in. Moving forward to Christmas, one of the storylines was going to be LeBron's ankle. He said he's going to drink some wine tonight. Before he got on, he said he was hungry as shit. So I think, you know, he's going to have around the clock treatment, as he also said. And I don't think that's an issue, but I mean, I don't know. What did you think of LeBron tonight? Yeah, he missed a few layups.
Yeah, there were a couple of bunnies right there at the rim that you're not used to seeing him miss. But then he also had a couple of really emphatic finishes at the rim. Yeah. I think it's a case where, you know, I felt like he was feeling the game out. You know, he wasn't gonna overexert himself. pardon me. It was certainly more than we saw from him in the preseason. You know, but on this ankle, I'll say this: like, you got a 36-year-old. I didn't know my watch was an alarm clock, but now it's going off. Hold on, let me push a button. See if I can snooze it. All right. I got this watch for my birthday, and it's like so much smarter than me. It's the same watch Eric Spolstra wears, which is what I told my wife. It's a G-Shock by Casio. It's not, which is not a sponsor, by the way, but I saw that watch. I was like, what? That's a great looking watch, Eric Spolstra. And then I figured out it was like only a $100 watch. Like, my wife got it for me for my birthday. I don't know how to use it. Anyway, I think about LeBron on Christmas with a potentially, you know, sprained or, you know, whatever ankle. There is, I understand it's a marquee game. I understand it, you know, it's a huge deal for the league. But if you're trying to be smart and conservative with your star players at this point, you know, 72 game season, I would not be forcing him out onto the court. And you know, the games that follow after that might be easier to hold him out, Portland, Minnesota, than San Antonio and Memphis, if there is something actually happening with the ankle. But I mean, the guy's about to turn 36 years old. This is a weird season. He's had a short off season. If he, you know, did anything other than just sort of your routine sort of tweak to the ankle, I mean, I could certainly make an argument that you take the backlash of not having him in a marquee matchup and you know, basically pick up your ball and go to the next hole.
I thought it was telling that he said it was a joint decision between Frank and his trainer Mike Mencias to keep him out. You know, I think it made sense given the context of the game. But as you said, you know, if this were a playoff game or actually a game that they were trying to win at the end there, he would have gone back in. But that's going to be the thing to monitor, I guess, for the next 48 hours or so. Just, you know, I don't know if they're going to have practice tomorrow, but maybe we'll have an update then. But that feels like about it for this game. I don't think there's anything we didn't discuss.
No, I think that was about it.
What did you think of the ring ceremony?
The ring ceremony was cool, man. Credit to, you know, Tim Harris, the Lakers president of business operations, and all of his people. You know, I thought there were some really nice touches on, you know, I mean, I thought having the frontline workers, you know, present by video, the coaching staff's rings, and then, you know, having the players' families and Frank Vogel's family and Rob Pelinka's family. I thought it was very, you know, emotional touch. I mean, I thought, you know, it looked like Frank was going to tear up a little bit. You know, there were a couple times, you know, I got a little emotional with some of the kids. I mean, it's just different when, you know, your kids telling you that, you know, they're proud of you. And so I thought that was a really neat touch and a way to bring some emotion into a situation, you know, that was, you know, really devoid of energy, right? Where you have no crowd to sort of light a fire in that moment. I thought, you know, that they did a good job of really manufacturing is the wrong word because it makes it seem inauthentic, but like I you know, really kind of summoning that sort of emotion in an otherwise really sterile environment. And I thought that was cool. I think it's cool they've got the banner up that says basically, you know, stay tuned, Lakers fans. So whenever fans are allowed back in Staples Center, the Lakers will do this all again, apparently, and they'll reveal the championship banner. But hey, I mean, who knows? I mean, by the time they do that, they might be unveiling two championship banners. So, but I thought the ring ceremony was very cool.
It was kind of weird for me. I felt like Dennis Schroeder got asked about it afterward, and he was like, you know, it was a special moment, but I didn't win the championship. Right. You know, I wasn't with these guys last year. And that's kind of how it was for me, because I was like, this is my first ring ceremony, but I wasn't covering this team last season. So like, I didn't put in the work to get this ring, but I'll take it.
I have a question about the ring ceremony. So I asked LeBron about this post game because I saw LeBron like went to the back, like at the start of the ring ceremony, he came back with his phone. And I thought he had notes on it because I thought he was going to speak. I was really surprised LeBron didn't speak, for one. But then for two, he said he FaceTimed his wife and she didn't answer. What the hell was Savannah doing that she couldn't answer a FaceTime from LeBron during the ring ceremony? Like, shouldn't she have at least picked up and said, pay attention? Like, I just don't understand. Like, I mean, Savannah has a standing invitation to come on the Forum Club anytime to discuss anything, but especially to answer this question, because I am perplexed. I mean, listen, then LeBron called his mom and got to tell her, like, you know, that, you know, he was glad she got to be a part of it. But I just don't understand what Savannah was doing in that moment other than sitting there watching the ring ceremony with her phone by her side. Or maybe she put her phone in another room so that she could focus on the ring ceremony.
I think we'll go with that version.
That's the one.
All right. I think that's an appropriate place to end this. Bill, where can people find you on social media if they're not following you already, despite listening to this podcast?
They might have been following me before this podcast and now need to know how to unfollow me. So if you need to unfollow me on social media, it's at Bill Orem on Twitter. It's also at Bill Orem on Instagram. That's O-R-A-M. And you, Jovan?
If you're not following me yet, which you might not be.
That's
because
true. I think more people have unfollowed you recently than me.
My Twitter and Instagram handle is at Jovan Buha. That's at JOVANBUHA. For Bill, this is Jovan signing out. Talk to you guys on Christmas.